You're listening to a message from Gateway Fellowship. Be sure to check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Last January, Lance Truob and Megan, who were serving as our student ministries pastors for the last 5 years, let us know that God was moving them on and Lance is going back to school. So we began this search, asking Jesus, who is it that you would bring our way? Someone who would become a part of our team, would carry on the ministries, and go to brand new levels amongst our students. We received many resumes. We talked to people. But then we called this couple over by SeaTac Airport who had been serving their church for 8 years. And we began to talk with them, and God began to knit our hearts together. And we were praying that they would say yes, because our plan was to extend to them an invitation to come. And we did extend that. They met with the board. They met many times with staffs and staff teams, and we had dinner together. We talked about ministry, talked about what it was like to serve here at Gateway, talked about you. This is a great church to be a part of. So you were part of the selling point. Thank you very, very much. And it's just my privilege to introduce to you this morning Mark and Risa Miller. They're coming right now with their son, Judah. And would you just welcome them to Gateway? And would you begin passing this yellow sheet? I'll mention something about it here in just a little bit. Pass this down the aisle and just kind of hang on to it. But Judah was up early this morning. He was at our 8 o'clock service, so he's going to sleep through this one, it looks like. And but he's just a delightful, just turned 1 year old, I believe. Isn't that right? Just turned one. And he's been running around the office, and man, always with a big smile on his face. I'm convinced he never cries. So Mark, Reese, we're at the end of this gathering, Mark's going to share his heart. And want to give him a chance to do that. And I think you're going to connect with him. I just encourage you to get your iPads out, your phones, whatever it is you take notes on. Mark's got a message, I believe, right from the heart of God today as it relates to us and to our youth as well. You guys just celebrated 7 years,
seven years of marriage.
You're going to talk about that, spend a little time away. And today is their first day on our staff. And so, Mark, thank you for answering. We believe was God's call here.
Absolutely.
And while I know it's hard to say goodbye to a family that you've been with for 8 years, a church family you've been with 8 years, thank you for answering God's call. And Risa, thank you, because it's always a family in Judah. And so it's a real privilege to welcome you today. You're going to see this. Mark will make reference to it. We'll talk about it at the end of the gathering. So hang on to that. Great big welcome to you.
Thanks
a lot.
All right. Well, good morning, Gateway Fellowship. I'm so excited to be here this morning and to be here with our family. And when I walked in, I was just struck by the scenery around me. And I thought, man, these guys really know how to throw a welcome. You know, they really know how to make a guy feel welcome. I felt like royalty coming in here. In fact, Shelley had mentioned that there was supposed to be a throne here, and I thought, man, that would just be great. I could preach from the throne, and I'd continue taking multiple ways. But it is just so good to be here, and as Pastor Tom said, we are the new student ministry pastors, and we are excited to be here. We are excited for what God is going to do. And let me just tell you, this morning in worship, it was a privilege to worship with you, and just to sense God's presence in this place and to see you respond. And see you with just a passion and a hunger for God to move. That gets me fired up. That's what I'm all about. And so we are excited to jump on and see what God has in store here for the students at Gateway. But before I jump into my message, I just wanted to encourage you with this. Throughout the process, and as Pastor Tom shared, it was a process for sure. And we talked a lot. But man, how much more do they need to talk? And don't they know me by now? But as we went through the process of talking, the thing that struck me the most was just the amazing men and women of God that make up the staff here at Gateway. And I just want you to know, before we ever came to a Sunday service, before we got a chance to meet some of you, and I hope after service you'll come out in the lobby and say hi. And you guys, you know, totally played a trick. Last time I was here, you had name tags on, and today you don't. And so now I'm lost, so make sure to introduce yourself. There's a lot of you and one of me, so just kind of help us out and have grace with us there. But before we ever had a chance to come and meet you and experience the services here, the team just the leadership of Pastor Tom and just the heart of this team and the vision and the hunger for God to do something great really captured us. And we said, that's a team we could be a part of. That's a team we could dream with, a team we would want to do life with. And so I just want you guys to be encouraged, and I want you to share your appreciation for this amazing pastoral team here at Gateway. Let's give them a hand. So we are looking forward to partnering and seeing God do great things. Well, as Tom shared this last week, our family had a chance to do a getaway to San Francisco. And while we were there, in fact, we were on a plane. We just got into a hotel this time last week. But as we were down there, got a chance to celebrate a few different key events. Had Father's Day, which takes on a whole new meaning now that I'm a dad. It's just such an awesome day. Just to be a part of that. But then the next day, on the 17th, is, as was just shared, it was our 7-year wedding anniversary. And you can clap for my wife for putting up with me for that long. And for more, many more. But as you guys have started this series on the Way of Wisdom, one thing I think we all walk into when we get married is this hope that at some point down the road, things will get easier. That somehow we'll just grow smarter, and somehow as men we'll learn how to be better in relationship. And I think what I find is probably you have found, the longer in this, the more I recognize sometimes I don't have a clue what I'm doing. And one of those areas, one of those aspects of our relationship that I am still struggling with is in the area of giving gifts. I love to give my wife gifts. The problem is I want every single gift to have the wow factor. You know what I'm talking about. I want her to be blown away. I want it just the stars to align. I just want everyone to be a Disney moment. And, you know, because that's what the commercials have led us to believe, right? Every kiss begins with K. I mean, every time it's a home run. I'm thinking, and I want that every time I give my wife a gift. And so all that ends up doing, of course, is putting pressure on me to try to find a way to come through with the wow moment. And one instance of this was this past Christmas. And it was a special Christmas for us because it was our first Christmas with our son, Judah. And I just wanted to do something special for my wife to commemorate now her as a mother. Something just to honor her now as a mother from here on out in Christmas. And so, as every guy knows, right, when you want to get the wow factor for a special occasion, there's only one type of store you can go to, right? What is it? Jewelry store, right? Gift cards just don't do it. I mean, you can try, but the gift card just doesn't quite say it. So, okay, I need to go to the jewelry store and see what I can come up with. So as I'm going from store to store, totally out of my element, I come across this idea and this pendant. I thought, man, this is perfect. This is exactly what I'm looking for. I got a picture of it here. I don't know if you can make it out here this morning, but it's a picture of this pendant of a heart, a shape of a heart, but within the heart is a mother holding a child. I thought, man, that's it. That's perfect. And so after deliberating, walking around the mall, thinking, should I do it? You know, should I not do it? And of course, phone consultations with both of our moms to get a female perspective, I decided to get it. And sure enough, on Christmas Day when we opened it, it got the wow factor I was looking for. This is going to fit in to the passage we're going to look at in just a second, but I want to say that there's a couple things that really compelled me to purchase this for my wife, to honor her as a mother. Number one, and as many of you can relate to, the price was right. Come on, it fit the budget. That's numero uno, fit the budget. But the second thing was this, is I wanted to find something that would symbolize her as a mother, something that when she wore it, people would know that she is a mom. That when they would see that, it would almost be a thing of honor for her to wear, for people to recognize her as, I believe, the amazing mother that she is. This morning, I want to share the heart of a student ministries pastor with you. And it's all going to deal with one word today. And the word is this: legacy. Legacy. Let me pray before we go any further here. God, I thank you so much. Lord, we have the opportunity to be in this place. God, I thank you, Lord, that your name, we can call on your name, and you are quick to save. God, I thank you, Lord, that your name is power. We can call on it. We can run to it. Lord, I pray this morning as we get into your word, Would it shape us, God? Would it transform us? Would it cut to the very core of who we are? And Jesus, may you be lifted high in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Whether you've got an iPad, iPhone, some of you that still have Androids that need to get saved, we'll just bear with you. I just had to, a little jab in there. Maybe you've got just a Bible. We're going to turn to the book of Proverbs. And for you, those of you maybe that don't have a Bible this morning, you came, maybe you're a guest, you don't have a Bible. In the lobby on your way out, there's a rack of Bibles there. And just consider that as our gift to you. Feel free to take one. It's yours. You can have it. And I'm going to be reading out of that version today, the NLT version. So the book of Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And I've got it here on the screen as well. Here's what it says. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. Let me read that one more time. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. And every parent, as I read that in the room, says, amen. Maybe for some of you, you want to highlight that. You want to go home and, stick that up on the fridge. Stick that above, the mirror in your kid's bathroom. And maybe you want them to memorize that. Just hold on to that. When they do something that frustrates you this week, you can pull that and say, hey, read this. Listen to this. This is good stuff. But this verse, like much of the first portion of the book of Proverbs, is a charge to the young. And the charge is this in this passage. Receive the correction of your father. Don't neglect the instruction of your mother. Then there is this promise, this beautiful promise, that I think we're gonna really highlight this morning. For they will be a crown of grace and a chain of honor. What I believe Solomon is talking about here is spiritual legacy or spiritual heritage. In fact, I've got the definition of legacy here on the screen, but here is how legacy is defined: an amount of property or money left to someone in a will. An amount of property or money left to someone in a will. This crown of grace, this chain of honor, I believe represents wisdom or legacy that is passed down from one generation to the next. So not only is this passage a challenge to the young to heed the instruction and the teaching, but it's also a challenge to the mature. And it begs us to answer this question: what are we passing on? What are we passing on? Just as a young person in Solomon's day couldn't go to the mall and pick up a crown or pick up a necklace, those were things of extreme value. Those were things that would need to be passed down from one generation to the next. So it's the same thing with wisdom today. Wisdom isn't something you can buy. It's not something you can find on Wikipedia, or as Pastor Tom talked about last week, you can't find it on Google, as much as we may try to find it, or find it on Facebook in a social network setting, or around a coffee table with someone, a peer of ours. It's not something that we find in that, but it's something that is passed down. Furthermore, just as that necklace that I gave my wife, remember I talked about that, will forever serve as an honor or serve as an identity for her as a mother, so the wisdom that we've passed down from one generation to the next will forever identify and shape their lives. It will sculpt them into who they will become in their relationship with God. One of the greatest passages or examples of spiritual legacy is in 2 Timothy 1:5. And here's the question we're going to talk through as we look at this. The question is this: is what will be the spiritual legacy of Gateway Fellowship? What will be the legacy that this church family, this spiritual family, will pass on from one generation to the next? So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, we've got it on the screen, or if you want to, you can pull it up as well. Here's what it says. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that the same faith continues strong in you. What is happening in this passage is Paul is encouraging his student, or the one he's mentoring, Timothy, and that his faith is actually part of a legacy that's greater than himself, right? His faith can be attributed not only to his mother Eunice, but it goes back even further, right, to his grandmother Lois. The life that Timothy lives, the things that he is doing for God, are the result of the legacy that went before him. How many in this auditorium this morning can attribute your faith to whether a physical or a spiritual mother, father, maybe grandparent? Anybody here, can you relate your faith is a direct result of the faith of somebody generations before you? Lots of us, right? For me, I can at least point it back to both grandparents on both sides of my family. On my dad's side, my grandparents came to know the Lord out of revival in a small group in the Catholic Church. And out of that revival, they came to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And my dad, in turn, as a teenager, gained a personal relationship with Jesus. Then on the other side, on my mom's side, it all goes back to a stubborn young lady, a.k.a. my grandma. And my grandpa, who was not serving the Lord, wanted to start dating her. And she said, listen, buddy, if you want to date me, you got to go to church with me first. Come on, we need more of that, right? If you want to date me, you got to go to church with me. And so he started going to church with my grandma and came to know the Lord. And now they've been in ministry as pastors for over 60 years. It's phenomenal. So we see that, yeah. You clap for that for sure. So even in my own family, I can see the roots of this spiritual legacy, this genuine faith that go back two generations and beyond. And here's the real struggle this morning is there are so many students, so many children in this church, in this community that don't have physical or spiritual mothers or fathers, grandmas and grandpas, brothers and sisters, mentors. They need someone that will pour into their life. They need someone that will pass on what God has done in their life into the next generation. Someone that will fight for them. Someone that will encourage them. Someone that will come alongside them as they walk through the struggles of life. And you may today say, man, I would love to do that, but how? How does that happen? Right? That's the hard question. What does it look like? That's a big idea, a big concept, legacy. Well, what does it look like? Act it out. And so I've got three things this morning that we can pass on as legacy from one generation to the next. We're going to look at three things real quickly. The first thing is this, doctrine. Number one is doctrine. And I think it's not a stretch for all of us to agree that biblical literacy is at an all-time high. Biblical illiteracy is extremely high in our culture as Americans, where people used to go to the Bible for answers. Now they go to these other sources, and they don't have an understanding of the Word of God. In fact, I came across a survey done by George Barna, who's a Christian author and researcher, and it deals with biblical illiteracy. I want to share this with you. It's very humbling statistics. Here's what he found. Fewer than half of all adults can name the four Gospels. Many professing Christians cannot identify more than two or three of the disciples. 60% of Americans cannot name even five of the Ten Commandments. 82% of Americans believe God helps those who help themselves is a Bible verse. A couple funny ones. 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Makes sense, right? Logic would say. A survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that over 50% thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. A considerable number of respondents to one poll indicated that Billy Graham preached the Sermon on the Mount. And these are the ones that get real scary. 6 out of 10 Americans reject the existence of Satan. 4 out of 10 Americans believe that when Jesus Christ was on the earth, he sinned. 5 out of 10 believe that anyone who is generally good or does enough good things for others during their life will earn a place in heaven. 4 out of 10 believe the Bible, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon are all different expressions of the same spiritual truths. 7 out of 10 born-again Christians say they do not believe in moral absolutes. Only 1 out of 10 Christians base their moral decision-making on the principles taught in the Bible. And the last one, 54% believe truth can be discovered only through logic, human reasoning, and personal experience. Those statistics scare me. And to know that, that's a survey not just of young people, that's a survey of America as a whole. And if you can imagine that these are adults, imagine where their children are at. If this is their understanding and their grasp of the Word of God, imagine where their children are at. And I got here on the screen, Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9, and it's a great challenge for us. It says, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands. Wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And what I see over and over again in this challenge is that the Word of God needs to be inundated in everything we do. It's something that we can't half-heartedly commit to. There must be a wholehearted devotion to the Word of God, and it must show up in our conversations. It must show up in the struggles when we hear people going through tough times. It should be the first thing we think of. It should be the way that we guide our life. We should build our life off the principles that we discover in God's Word. And I can tell you for a fact that students and children want to know the Word of God. They are hungry for truth. And what scares me is this, as we see in Ephesians chapter 6, for those that don't have an understanding of the Word of God, you are in a spiritual battle without a weapon. Imagine that for a second. You are in a fierce spiritual battle without a weapon. How do you navigate that? How do you walk through that without the Word of God in your life? They need those who will weave Scripture into conversations, who will take time to correct ignorant theology. And let me tell you, there are some honest questions that seem really crazy that kids have, but listen, they are wanting to know truth. They're wanting to know what the Word of God says and make the Word come alive in their lives. So the first thing we need to pass on is doctrine. The second thing is this, stories of faith. Stories of faith. And as I talked about earlier, my grandpa Strong, who's been in ministry over 60 years, every time I sit down with my grandpa, he will spend hours talking about ministry. And you would think after 60 years, like he is just starting because he has such a passion for God, such a passion for seeing people come to know the Lord. But every time we get together, he shares stories of faith. In fact, they have so many that he and my grandmother sat down and wrote a book of some of the things that they've seen God do. And I've got it in my office. It's signed. It's first edition. So if you want a copy, you want to read a copy of it, I've got a copy you can borrow. But he is always sharing stories of faith with me every time we get together. Even if he's now getting older to where he kind of repeats them, but they're still good every time, you know. The details get a little crazier every time, but he's always encouraging me with stories of faith. And times when I've come to him with frustrations, he's always had, hey, Mark, this is what God did in my life, or this is how I saw God move in this situation. And it encourages me every time. Revelation 12:11 says, and they have defeated him, meaning you and I, by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. We have overcome the enemy. That's who they're talking about there, by the blood of the Lamb and our stories of faith. Your stories have power against the enemy, against the doubt he'll try to throw at you. But listen, they're greater than that. Not only do they have power to overcome the enemy, but they have power to empower the next generation. Students want to know what God did in your life and how you navigated things you've been through. As they go through struggles, they need that one that will say, man, this is how I saw God work in my life. This is what I saw God do for me in that same situation. And I know for me, even as a young minister, which was a lot of years ago now, as you can kind of tell by the thinning hair, it's been a few years. As a young pastor, I would go to different trainings at the network office for the assemblies, and Jeffrey Portman, the then network youth director, would have these really top-notch leaders come in and give us all these training and really good how-tos of ministry and just really good stuff. But I'll tell you, the thing that always impacted me the most, the thing that I left encouraged with, wasn't that stuff. It would be when he or somebody else would just talk about, man, there were times when I didn't know what I was doing. There was times where I struggled, or times when I didn't know which way to go, but God brought me through. And I tell you, the training was good, but that's what stuck with me. Because I realized suddenly I wasn't the only one feeling that way. Because I was. As I was walking, I'm thinking, I have no idea what I'm doing. And to hear these mature leaders say, hey, I've been there, and God brought me through. Encouraged me. It kept me going. It spurred my faith forward. Could you find time to grab a young person in the lobby between services and just ask them how they're doing? Maybe you see them with a frown on their face, or they look kind of downcast. Say, hey, how are you doing? Or maybe you sit down in the cafe and have a coffee with them and just say, hey, tell me your story. And then encourage them with yours. Find ways to share those stories of faith. So we have doctrine. We have stories of faith. And the last one is this, is worship. And I know this can be a difficult topic at times, because each generation has kind of had their own kind of spin on worship, right? Each generation kind of takes a little different twist on how they approach worship. And young people tend to like it really loud. They tend to like it, and it's awesome, but they tend to like it really loud, and that can be uncomfortable. And if we just stay to the surface of musical style, it can be intimidating to us. But listen, they don't need to see that. They need to see worship more than just limited to a song. They need to see it as a lifestyle. Worship as a lifestyle. Ephesians 5:18-20 says this: don't be drunk with wine, because it will ruin your life. Whole other message we're not going to get to today, so you don't have to worry about that. It says, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Students need to see worship that flows out of thankfulness rather than personal taste. They need to see worship that isn't limited to a time slot or a style of song, but is lived out in daily life. The songs and hymns and spiritual songs that flow out of a life of thankfulness to the Lord. They need to see that kind of worship. They also need to see what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. What does it mean to be a Pentecostal church? They need to see that lived out in front of them. A few months ago, actually it was probably more like 10, you know, time seems to fly. When our son was younger, we were out at the mall doing some shopping, and I was pushing Judah in his stroller. Risa was doing some shopping, and I wasn't really engaged in the shopping. I just kind of was out, you know, in my own little world. And as we were walking around, we got into Macy's, and we're in one particular area, and there was some really good music, you know, just some really catchy music. And as I was listening to this music, you ever find yourself kind of starting to, you know, you bob your head a little bit, maybe you start moving a little bit. So I'm in Macy's, just kind of in my own world, doing my thing. And at one point, I happened to look down at my son. And there in the stroller is my 5 or 4 month old son bobbing his head right back at me. And it was at that moment that I realized this. My son is watching me. I'm passing something on to him, whether I want to acknowledge it or not. And I hope he's a better dancer than me. Lord, help us. But listen, here's the truth for us today. We are all passing something along, whether intentional or unintentional. And Gateway, the legacy that you leave is the next generation. That is your legacy. What do you want to pass on to them? What kind of chain of honor or crown of grace do you want to bestow upon them? What wisdom can you impart to them? And I know the natural answer to that question of how do we do this is to say, well, that's my job as a student ministries pastor. Yes, absolutely. That is part of, that's my passion, that's my heart. I want to see that take place. But you need to know this today. The way to wisdom, I believe, is sitting in this auditorium right now, locked inside your stories, your struggles, successes, failures, and experiences in the presence of God. We need you. All of you. We need you to impart what God has placed in your life. We need your knowledge of the Word of God. We need your stories of faith. We need your lifestyle of worship to be imparted to the next generation. We need spiritual moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, brothers, sisters, mentors. And I just want to quickly share with you some of our vision for the students at Gateway. And our hope is this, our belief is this, that God is going to make this ministry a hub where we see, as we see the vision of our church, gather to experience the presence of God. We want to see students gather to experience the presence of God. We want to see them grow through groups and key trainings and experiences and camps. And we want to see them go reach their friends, their family, their schools, the city, this world for Jesus. We want our students to experience, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, that their faith would not be based on a catchy, flashy program, but be based on the presence of God, on the Word of Jesus. Because I believe when they experience that, their faith cannot be shaken. Nobody can tell them that God is not real in their life. We also want to see this ministry be a vital part of the church, not apart from it. We hope you see students all over this campus serving when you come on a Sunday. And it, for not to be an exception, but for it to be the norm around here. We want students to invest in the church. We also want to see life change take place. We know there's a great harvest. And we're not going to be done until the churches and the youth ministry, student ministries of this community are full and Satan's youth ministry is empty because he has to close his doors because there's nobody left. They're all serving the Lord. That's our heart. And here's what we need from you. We need you to pray for us. Pray for our students. Pray for our leaders. Invest in this generation financially, with resources, with time, however you can. Invest. Pass on what God has given you. And finally, would you mentor and come alongside a student? Find a way to pour into a student's life. Maybe there's a student that God has placed on your heart, or a student that you have an influence or connection with. We don't need to have a program or a organized thing for that to take place. You just go and do it. If it's something God's put in your heart, go for it. And you see there's a handout as well that should have gone down the row. And that's just letting you know some of the things that are going to be happening this summer. We've got a parent meeting next Sunday after service. And there's food. So we'll do whatever we can to get you there. And we've got some connection nights happening in August. And we're going to launch this thing big in September. Let me pray and we'll close this morning. God, I thank you so much, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, stories of faith. God, I thank you, God, that you've given us your word. Lord, that we have things to pass on, Lord. And I pray that, God, those things would not stay locked, God, in this auditorium. They wouldn't stay locked in us, but, God, we would put to use, Lord, everything you've placed in us. Lord, the legacy, God, would not die with us, but, God, that we would invest in the next generation. God, we would give them that crown of grace, that necklace of honor. And, God, that we would empower them to change the world. And God, will we not let fear, will we not let intimidation or doubt stop us from being used by you? Because God, we're not finished yet. We're not done until you take us home to be with you. So God, I just pray that we would see life change take place. God, we would see revival break out. We would see schools come to know you. And God, this ministry would be full of students that are changing their families, they're changing their friends, they're changing their schools, they're changing the world. And God, we thank you in advance for how you're going to use us, Lord, in this journey, God, in this process that you are doing, God, to make all things new. And so we give you all the glory and praise. And Jesus, we put you in the center of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. I tell you, I am so excited for the future and where God's going to take us in our student ministries, Mark. I'm so excited that you and Risa are going to be a part. I believe that what you've shared today is right from the heart of God. Mark's a musician. He plays the guitar, I think the bass, and acoustically plays the drums. But one of the things that has marked your ministry is how you get kids involved in those things, students involved in those things. And Mark's a huge relationship builder. And I think that's where I really connected with you on that. And I'm so excited for what's going to happen and for the plans that you have. And I'm going to invite our board of elders and wives, staff and wives, if you're here, to come forward. Also, there was a parent team that met as well. So if you're part of that parent team, these are representatives. You come on up, husbands and wives. And so come on up. And right on. And we're just going to pray. And I should just say, anybody else who wants to come up, you know, that would do it. We're just going to bless these guys. And Mark, your parents, too, they're going to come. They've joined us. They're from the Tri-Cities area. And so, yeah. I'm excited. Are you?
Yeah.
I truly am. I really, really am. And so, let's just stand together, shall we? Stand together. And I'm going to pray, but just don't listen to me pray, okay? Go, you pray as I lead us, and we're going to pray for God's blessing and his leading and his guiding over Mark and Risa now as they begin a long time here. We're going to believe that. Amen?
Amen?
All right. So, Father, we thank you for Mark, and we thank you for Risa. God, when we began this search, when we began this journey, God, we prayed that you would lead us to just the right person, just the right team. Someone, Lord, that would come and be a part of this faith community, would connect with the vision that I believe that you have given to us to reach into our community, to reach into our world, our region with the good news, to work together. Use our children, use our students, use all of us, we pray, in that task. And I believe that you have ordained this time. You spoke to Mark and you spoke to Risa. You spoke to us. And God, we just pray that as we begin this new time, this new era, that you will bless our student ministries. Father, there are students who are yet to come to faith in you. We pray for them. There are students within our community, Lord, that you want to use, that you want to build. God, we pray that you will have your will and have your way in all of their lives. We, as a faith community, regardless of our age, regardless of our experience, commit ourselves, Lord, to allowing you to work in us and through us, connect with Mark and Risa and their vision as they connect with us, as they connect with you. God, I thank you for it. So we give them to you. We commission them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Everyone said, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand, shall we? Now, we'll be dismissed in just about a moment. Next week, we just continue in the way of wisdom. Read the book of Job. Next week, we're going to be in the first two chapters, but read the first four chapters of Job. I'll be sharing with you what faith does and what faith doesn't when you're facing suffering. We all face suffering of some type. That's coming up next week. But take this, and you'll see a number of opportunities there. So next week, you already mentioned it. It's a parent meeting. However, I commission you as all parents of teens. There you go. Regardless of age or anything. Even if yours are out of the home. What I was really impressed with when Mark shared with us and reset that you had team members at your former church who were 70 plus. So I think that's pretty cool. So that's some of you out here, maybe. Okay? Possibly. And young, old, it doesn't make any difference. So if you want to learn more about the student ministries, you come to this meeting next week, parent or not. And then there are a number of things going on. And then finally, I would just invite you to take this and use it as a prayer reminder. Put it on a refrigerator, put it on your computer, wherever you need it. Shrink it, put it in your Bible, do whatever. Let's pray for our students, amen? Now, give Mark and Risa, you can start right now, a moment to get out in the lobby. Give them your name one time. That's enough. They'll remember. And they'll be out there. So God bless you guys. And give them 1 minute. Thank you to this team and thank you to others. And we'll see you next week. God bless you. Have a great day.
To find out more about Gateway Fellowship or our terms of use, check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.